Good evening, everyone. This is
You're a little bit low in volume. Can you increase your volume a little?
How about
or
that?
Maybe
is
it's
that
me.
Better? Is that better?
Is that better?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. This is the NLA Hampstead. My name is Terry. I'm KI0RE. I'm Terry from Colorado. And we'd like to welcome everybody here, and I hope everybody can participate. Our topic tonight is I wanted to clear up a couple of things that were kind of left a little bit hanging last week. And to do that, I need to find a spot to pull over. I guess I wasn't as ready as I thought. But there was a couple of things that, let me get my notes up here. I did go look at, you know, SDR. We talked a little bit about SDR last week. And SDR, we had something about somebody that couldn't get AM station. There's two parts to SDR. The SDR stands for Software Defined Radio. And a Software Defined Radio means that most of the stuff that's done is done in software. And that's the beauty of it. You do all this stuff in software instead of having to make discrete components to do it for you. That leads to a couple of things. One is that it's a whole lot cheaper. You can buy a tiny USB module and plug it in and do a lot. The other thing is that because it's so small, it either cannot transmit or transmits at a very low output power. So it might transmit in the milliwatt range or 10 milliwatt range, which is almost nothing. So if you're going to actually use it to communicate, you need to up that power using an external amplifier that will work at the frequency you want to talk on. But going back to the SDR, you do most of the stuff in the GNU, the GNU software, and it's GNU radio software, and you can look it up on the net. And they've done a really good job about putting it into modules. Now, not everybody needs to get into that. You just have to make sure you get the amplitude modulation module plugged in. And you also have to ensure that you have all the other pieces you need to detect that signal properly. So, there's a lot more that I could say, but I don't want to bore anybody with all the details. But I can't remember who it was. Maybe Fred in Florida, or maybe Bruce in Florida. I don't know. And if you have a question, please ask the question. Now, what else was there? I did go back and look at wireless networking in a developing world. Thank you, John, for the link to that. That was absolutely an excellent little book. If you want to get deep into radio networking and Wi-Fi and what it's all about, they've got a lot of stuff in there, and they don't explain every little detail, but they give you enough information to where if you understand that information, you're functional in what needs to be done. So that was an excellent book, and I recommend it to anyone. You can find it on WNDW.net. That's Whiskey November Delta Whiskey.net. And wireless networking in a developing world. I encourage everybody to read the first chapter or two or three. Also, there was something about stealth antennas. And I found something on www.g4golf4ilo. So that's www.g4ilo, India Lima Oscar.com, stealth.html/stealth.html. And he's got all kinds of ideas about having a stealth antenna. Somebody talked about a stealth antenna out there. I was just all floored by how many ways that even I didn't know about that he could do things. Let's see. What else in my note? We were talking, the last thing we talked about was developing plans to organize a general plan for a committees of safety to use as a guide. I want to encourage everyone to do that, and we can talk about that tonight if you want. You know, you need to think about what's going to happen, and I can see that our grid is very fragile. I guess there are ways that grids can be shared, but there are a lot of things that happen that make the grid a little fragile in places. Could anyone take the grid down? Not just anyone, but the person who knows how to take it down could take it down very easily. And the people who want to do something bad against the United States, that's one of the things they're keeping in mind. It was just, what, 2-3 years ago that they had an attack on a substation out in California, and they apparently used AK-47s and just shot it up. But they knew where to shoot, and the transformers that they put out of commission were going to require 18 to 24 months to get built and then get installed. And I think they just finished doing that here about 6 months ago. And I could have that all wrong. That's just my memory. And I don't know if you know about brain cells, but brain cells are gray. And when they die, I know exactly where they go. They go into gray hairs. And so the actual information is sitting in my hair, my gray hair that's hanging around my head. Okay, what else? We can talk about that. We can talk about the NIMS training. I didn't get a chance to look at the NIMS training. I'm still very interested in that. Light. Somebody asked about light. Light is 3.8 to 7.5, 10 to the 14 hertz. Now, if you know your kilo and your mega and your giga and your tetra, tera, then you come to your peta. Peta is 10 to the 15. So I'm going to go back just a little bit. 10 to the third is 1,000. That's kilohertz. 10 to the 6 is mega. That's megahertz if you want to put hertz in front of it. And 10 to the 9th is gigahertz. And 10 to the 12th is terahertz. So I figured out that the bottom of the light wavelength is, or the frequency, is 3.8 times 10 to the 5th gigahertz. That's a lot of hertz running around, or 3,800,000 gigahertz, just to put you in perspective. What am I talking about? Do you know, does everybody know, their Latin prefixes to indicate the size and the magnitude of something? Okay, that's all the little things that I have. Now I want to talk about what you guys want to talk about. So I'm going to turn it open to anyone who wants to contribute. This is Terry in Colorado, K-I-0-R-E. And I'd like to open the floor up. If you want anything to say, criticize, elaborate on, suggest, whatever it is, please call now. You know what it is, Jan.
What is it?
Silence is golden, so everybody stays quiet and getting rich.
That's right. I'd have to agree. What are we going to do with all this money?
I would hope they would speak up and share a little bit of their knowledge with us. That's the whole thing about being a ham. I know it sounds like I know a lot. I know very little. Like John, AB3Z, was it ZI? Are you on here, John?
This is Bruce in Florida, KM4WUJ. I was the one that was talking about the SDR radio. And to get AM broadcast, you have to put a wire antenna on. And, you know, the antenna they give you is just a little mag mount, and it doesn't pick that up. But I just strung a short, like a 25-foot wire, and I could get the broadcast. They didn't come in very good, but they did come in. So that's all that was wrong. You need a different antenna for the AM. Back to
and
you.
Tell me, Bruce, why do you think that is?
Well, it's a long wave. You know, the broadcast is, 700 to 1,200 kilohertz. So that makes a huge long antenna just to get a wavelength.
Very true. So what he's saying is, for everyone that's listening, is that the wavelength down around 1 kilohertz, which is in the middle of the AM band, 1,000 kilohertz, is generally, I haven't done the math in a while, but do you know the wavelength, Bruce?
No, I didn't, but it's pretty long.
Compared with the
18-inch thing I have here, did they give you with it?
Yeah, and that 18-inch has a resonant frequency that's much higher than 1,000 kilohertz, which is what the AM band is centered on. And so it would not pick it up very well. But if you get 25 feet, you're approaching something that might be a quarter wavelength. I don't think it is. I think it's like several hundred yards or something for the wavelength of 1 megahertz. Anybody at once can put it in and figure it out. I haven't done it in a while. I meant to do that, and I didn't. Okay, you got it to work. What modules? Can you briefly describe what modules it took to get it working on the software-defined radio?
The software I have is only one module. Everything's in there.
Oh, right. So they already got it compiled, so it's all one module, huh?
All in one module. And it's the software would come, you know, I forget. I bought the thing on Amazon, and I forget the name of it, but it's RLT or something. And I went to their homepage, and you can download the software. And I found out about the radio. They got help files there. And I started looking in there, and they said, to get the longer wave, you have to put a wire antenna. You know, to really get anything but 70 centimeter and, 2 meter and, the shorter waves, you need some kind of an antenna, preferably an outside antenna. So, it's really, the way I have it set up, it gets to 70 centimeter and 2 meter one's very good, but it doesn't get anything else, really. Back to you.
Excellent. Thank you, Bruce, for that. I appreciate it because I wasn't sure. So this might be one of the things we can do to get information from the NLA out to everybody, if everybody was using a software-defined radio. How many people do you think could do that? Is that something anybody could really do, or do you think it takes a little more effort, Bruce, if I might
Well,
add?
It takes a little effort. It's not definitely not plug and play. You have to download software and unzip it, and it's a little complicated. You have to follow directions absolutely perfect, because I didn't follow one part, and then the options didn't come. I had to go back, and I just ran the file, and they say you have to run it as administrator. And when you do that, it gives you more options. And it took me about 3 or 4 hours fiddling around to get it running. But you can do it, but you have to read the directions and follow them exactly. Back to you.
Okay, so really, it might be good to have a ham, or it doesn't. You don't have to be a ham to use this radio for listening purposes, but to find somebody who's good with computers, can follow direction, for a $20 or $30 USB SDR. They could actually put it together for just the cost of the SDR, and then you'd have a listening station that if the NLA wanted to communicate anything, they could, or if you needed to communicate over long distances, just to hear. You could do the entire country all at once like that. So it's a possibility.
But you'd have to put an antenna up to get, you know, the other things. If you want to go in 20 meters and 40 meter bands, you need an antenna. They're all on there, but you have to get an input to it.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. Okay. Well, thank you, Bruce. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you know, Greg was on here last week, and I called. He lives in Florida too, not far from me, and he bought one too for more money, but he never got it hooked up. But that one probably does a lot more. It was $100 and some, and you know, they have them up to $1,000, and they transmit and everything. If you look, there's you know, they're just real cheapies, but there's a lot of them go up from $100 to $300, and then some real high ones go up $800-$900.
And the funny thing, the nice thing is that you can experiment and do different things, listen to different signals that maybe you don't listen to all the time. I would like to direct everybody's attention to something that I think was originally said by Jan. Jan, correct me if I'm wrong, but I ran into this radio reference. I was listening to a fire that was down here in the Springs on the internet by going to radioreference.com and signing up and then looking in my state and looking what it went in. And I was surprised at how much they have available to be put on the net. And so it was impressive. I was listening to the different fire units that were knocking down a grass fire that just started in the afternoon. And as they would say a road here, a road there, and a road in another place, I would look for that on Google, and I finally found exactly what they were fighting and the buildings they were talking about. And so it was very informative, and I enjoyed doing it. And that was all off the internet. I didn't have to have a radio that's monitoring trunk down there. Of course, I'm depending upon the internet, and the internet might not be there. So that it. It's a paradox that I can do that. And when you think about it, you got to get to the lowest level. You got to be able to do it on the lowest level. The lowest level for me would be to have a transmitter in my hand that could listen on a particular frequency. One up from that is maybe I get a phone call. One up from that is digitally over the internet where somebody has put a radio in that you can listen to. There is one over the internet. I guess I'll send it to Jan. Maybe he can send it out sometime. But you can listen to whatever's on that radio. A ham can get on it and actually control the radio remotely over the internet. Fascinating. And you can do it on HF and see what it's like. But as you lose power, or you have an EMP, or you've lost a certain section, or possibly what do they call that? An EM?
EMP.
EMP, there you go.
EMP, yes.
EMP, EMP, or coronal mass ejection, CME is what I was thinking about. When the sun has one of these great big flares, if it's pointed kind of towards the Earth can feel the results of that. It actually penetrates our magnetic field and can cause circuits to go wacky and short things out and make a general mess. A coronal mass ejection was blamed, I think, in part on... It was blamed part, in, it was blamed for the Northeast, one of the Northeast blackouts several years ago, that it hit one person. It actually did this part of the net, and then because it was the other parts of the grid were trying to fill in for it, they would fall offline to save themselves. And that's generally what happens. You know, that's something it took me a long time to get. I got it several years ago, but it took me a long time to get. When you see a fuse that's blown or a circuit breaker that's blown, and just like these, they were trying to help the other part of the net, but it can't carry the load. The current gets too high, and a circuit breaker flips open. Well, when it flips open, it either cuts off the part that died, or it cuts off itself, too. And it depends on how it's wired to what it does. But if you see a fuse blown or a circuit breaker that pops off in your house or your car, that usually means something. You can put another fuse in it, and it might go just fine. Then again, it might just fry it as soon as you turn it on. If it fries it as soon as you turn it on, that's something you need to go check. You need to find out what circuit that is, what is controlling, and what might be the problem. And that can be really difficult to find sometimes. Okay, I'm going to turn it back open to whatever anybody wants to talk about. I appreciate your input, Bruce. That was excellent. This is KI0RE, Terry in Colorado, listening for a minute.
Yeah, this is Bruce again. I also, in Florida, they have what they call SARnet, and there's 33 repeaters all linked together around the whole state. And I can talk to anybody in the entire state of Florida. And that, you know, it's the state runs it. I don't know, but and some of it is connected, but it's strictly radio. You don't need any internet. And they should get something like that going around the country. So it's amazing. I could talk to people in Tallahassee and Miami and, you know, all over the state. Back to you.
Yes, we have something like that in here in Colorado. You can go up to the COLOCON, which stands for Colorado Connection. So if you look up Colorado Connection, you can find out we've got them all over. And when you key up, you're here. You can talk to about 70% of the state of Colorado, plus a few places up in Wyoming, all at once. And they're strategically placed repeaters so that you can talk across the mountains without having to have HF. And they're excellent. They work really, really well. And the idea is that this repeater links to the next one, links to the next one, links to the next one. And technically, you could go all the way across the state. I know of a few others. I know about one in Texas. I know about one in Mexico, and I know about one in Utah and Idaho. So they're quite prominent. The trouble is that the wider it gets, the more potential you have for more people wanting to use it. So you want to cover a region or a state or like your search and rescue, one that you just mentioned, it makes sense to cover the state because everybody that wants to talk on that net is probably going to be participating in SAR exercises, and they want to have instant communications across the entire state. But if you get it too big, well, two people down in between Florida and Georgia, let's say, we'll get to talking, and the net's tied up, and Colorado can't use it. So it makes sense to have it for a particular area or region or state or some type of definition. I also want to tell you that it costs people time to put it up, and usually they're doing that out of the goodness of their heart. There are volunteers that maintain the thing, and I would assume this is the same thing with yours in Florida, that it's volunteers that maintain that. They're putting their own blood, sweat, and time into going up and seeing that repeater system works all the time. And especially here in Colorado, there's some repeaters up on top of mountains. You can't get to them in the deep winter after a snowstorm. So maybe 2-3 months, you can't get to them here. I imagine in some places, some locations, it gets even worse. There might be 6 months that you can't get to them. So I appreciate that, Bruce. Good point. Thank you.
Now, this is KC3HVA. We have a similar setup in Pennsylvania. I think there's 26 repeaters in it, and I think it covers about 75% of the state. Now, you had mentioned earlier the speed of light being 3 times 10 to the 8th meters per second. That makes your, if you drop the AM band down to 550, I forget where the actual lower end of it is, 650 or whatever, 550, the wavelength would be 545 meters. So a little 10 or even a 25-foot long antenna isn't very much antenna for a wavelength like that. Just a incidental bit of information for you. It takes 8 minutes and 17 seconds for light to travel from the surface of the sun to Earth. So it moves pretty darn fast. That's a long way. If you want it in miles per hour, or miles per second, I should say, it's 186,000 miles per second that light travels. Moves very fast. Over.
CME, what did I call it? Coronal mass ejection.
Mm-hmm.
Those travel a little bit slower. Usually takes a day or two for them to reach the Earth. Because they're moving quite a bit slower, because there's more mass. They're moving quite a bit slower than the speed of light. And it's 186,200 miles per second. But that's, so you're talking roughly at 540 kilohertz. That's, you said, about 1,500 meters. That would be
550.
550 meters, well, that would be somewhere in the neighborhood of, 1,500 to 2,000 feet, which is, you know, that's about a quarter to a third of a mile.
Right.
And so you're right, the 25 feet of random wire hanging up outside the house isn't a whole lot, but you notice that when Bruce changed from an 18-inch antenna to that antenna, he had no problem getting it. So every little bit of wire, it depends upon the frequency, every little bit of wire helps.
Yeah, you have to look at car antennas. They were typically maybe 3 feet or less, and now they have them in the windshield, and that's probably smaller, and they work well.
Yeah, what they do is they load the antenna up. You can take, and this is something that you can do, capacitance put on antenna tends to give it a different length. Also, inductance tends to give it a different length. And if you take the capacitance and inductance and you get it all balanced right, you can actually tune an antenna that's much longer or shorter than what you're used to tune to a particular wavelength. What you're going for is about a quarter wave or a half wave antenna. Those seem to work about the best. But I know a lot of people that hang a random wire out a window, and they talk to the world on it. So it takes experimentation sometimes. Okay, is there anyone else that wants to talk a little bit? I would appreciate any questions, or do I talk too much?
Absolutely not.
I sometimes think that everyone is getting the view of the world through Terry's eyes, and that isn't always the correct view. Terry just learned enough to where she could be effective at what she does. And I think I've forgotten a lot of things. But I certainly want to leave it open for everyone who wants to talk about different things. Or if anybody has any questions.
Does anybody have any questions, suggestions, or want a topic of discussion? Please call now, KI0RE, Terry in Colorado.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yeah, you're kind of scratchy sometimes.
Oh, okay, it's my cord.
Yeah, there you go. That sounded better.
Okay, I can't move the cord. Hold on one second, please. All right. How are you? This is Crystal from Connecticut. And I had gone to the court and stuff yesterday. And it was quite fascinating what was going on. How these attorneys all, I brought a team of people with me for my case. And it was like a bankruptcy court case, which I have supposed to be having a settlement coming up. They want to take all my money, and they said, you are not in existence. We are giving your name and everything over to the trustee. And I said, but I'm still alive. You know? And they said, well, this is the way it goes and stuff like that. And then one of the attorneys, the one who I had originally hired, I guess he basically is playing both sides against the middle. And they said, well, out of this, you will get absolutely nothing. I guess it's divvied up. So say, for example, if I owe like 130, supposedly, which I don't know anything, and I asked for the proof of claim, because they put their name and gave me a new contract in 2014. I said, well, who signed my name? Who took out this mortgage? And I said, I wanted to see the sworn notarized affidavits. There's nothing. So I just found out, doing my own homework on the side, when people do file for bankruptcy, when they try to steal all your money, which they've been settling people's cases and everything else, and the parties are not even notified. They did it to two of the cases that I found out accidentally because I went to get a docket number, and they gave me the wrong docket number. And when I checked out the case, it was a federal case, which everything was settled, and I wasn't even there. So everybody got to be – I mean, they've been doing so many crazy things in all these courts, and it's unbelievable. Somebody in this state had an accident. The doctor gave them medication, which I guess the person had blocked out or what happened, had an accident. They turned around and lied even about the case and got this person in jail. Nobody died or nothing. Can't even get records of it, and they're in jail. So, I mean, it's just so many crazy, bizarre things that, as I said, like I told, the people here, and we're trying to get this all in the schools under the National Liberty Alliance, which a lot of people are like, well, this is great. It's a great idea for the students, for the summer program, when the kids are out of school, a work experience. So even like when they have days off, they can go and start observing. But everybody, I mean, it's a light switch that everybody definitely needs to know and learn about. And basically that's all I have to say.
Well, thank you, Crystal. I'm sorry that you're having a tough time. You're right, and I don't know what to tell you. Jan, do you have anything to say?
I wish I did.
I'm going back next week. I'm going to keep you in both, you know.
Yep.
Sounds like you're doing all the right things.
I'm sorry?
Sounds like you're doing all the right things.
Oh, yeah, and I told everybody, make sure you bring your notebook. We got all the names and stuff like that, so that's, you know. And it was funny because I took, like, I had about four or five people yesterday. And they were like, oh, my God, we've never been to a court. So we're going to the different courts, you know? Because
yeah.
I said it's...
I have one question for you, Crystal.
Yeah, what's that?
How can ham radio help you?
How could ham radio?
Because this is the Yanela Hamsnet until about 5 minutes from now.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know.
Maybe you thought you were waiting on the next net that's coming here in just 5-10 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you don't have to be sorry. You just have to be crystal. It's not a problem.
No, because you know what? I love learning and talking, and, you know, we're learning from each other on all this stuff.
Absolutely.
You know?
I agree. And you're absolutely right. This is what happens. And the only thing that I can posit to answer my own question is committees of safety. If we had a committee, an operating committee of safety, we could take and put this in front of a common law grand jury, and the common law grand jury could say, no, you guys did something wrong right here. We could identify the people, get the affidavits, and then prosecute some people. So the ham radio would be a very indirect thing, which would support the committees of safety. In your case, I don't know that it would be helpful as long as you have.
But to bring, are you saying bring a hand radio into the courtroom?
Nope, you can't do that.
No, I didn't think so. No. Because we can't even bring our phones up there.
No, but what I am saying is that if you have a functioning committees of safety inside your county, that they could bring something up and ask the common law grand jury or this jury administrator to investigate everything you're talking about. Then you would have somebody on your side. So what we need to do is get that sheriff on our side, get the committees of safety functioning, and part of committees of safety is helping with communications, which that's where radio comes in. Sometimes that's the only way you can communicate.
But you know what? I found out this particular judge, he is like right by the book. And I'll tell you, she was putting these attorneys in check. They don't like her at all. You know?
That's good. Oh, yeah, you don't always get that. But for this net, I want to keep it on ham radio and the NLA if I could.
Okay,
you're talking the NLA side. You're talking the NLA side, and I think that's admirable. But I'd like to keep it on ham radio, too, if I can, just until about a quarter.
I need to.
That's all right.
The ham radio. Thank you.
Yeah, you don't have to have one. I think if you work on your committees of safety first, then having a committee of safety is more important.
Okay.
Now, can we help a committee of safety by providing ham communications via ham radio? Yes. But it sounds like you need something a little more right now. And I don't think ham radio is going to provide that for you right now.
Okay.
Until your committee of safety gets functional. So thank
all
you
right,
for
well,
your help. Is there anybody else that wants to talk? Okay, does anybody have any ideas about writing a general plan and what needs to be in that plan that we kind of hinted at last week, but we really didn't get into yet? Did anybody think about that during the week? Please call now, KI0RE, Terry in Colorado.
It would seem, this is KC3HVA. It would seem that we need to take a look at each state to see how many states are set up like Colorado and Florida and Pennsylvania to see what kind of a repeater net they have to see how much area we could cover with just UHF and VHF. And that needs to be part of the plan. We don't have enough HF coverage to do much of anything at this moment, but with VHF we could probably do quite well if we knew how much of the area we could cover. Over.
Good point, Jan. Anyone else? Hmm. Okay, well, I definitely want to get other people involved. Take it upon yourself. What part of ham radio do you know? What part of ham radio do you want to figure out? What part of ham radio would you like instruction on? Here I am. I'm not an expert. I'm an amateur extra, which means I know a little bit more than some of the guys in ham radio. But I think John AB3ZI has me by a long shot. So what would you guys like to know about? Ask those questions. Think about them during the week. Everyone, make contact with your local club. Do we need to start asking questions, or do we need to retire the NLA Hams Net? That's what it's coming to. And I think that there's a valid purpose for this network, and it has to do with ham communications. But there's a lot to learn. I can start going through things, and I thought about doing that. And if everyone could look up on let me turn my light back on. Look up on WNDW Whiskey, NovemberDeltaWhiskey.net for the wireless networking in a developing world. I will give a talk based upon that next week. I hope AB3ZI can join me and maybe take a few things to talk about. John, if you're listening to this after it's been recorded, are you listening now? Please pick a part that you want, and I would love to hear you talk about it. But there's some pictures, there's some graphs, there's some interesting things in there, and I'd like to talk about them. So your homework is to go find that and look at the first 1, 2, 3 chapters. I can't remember how far I got. I don't have it in front of me because I don't have my computer with me at the moment. But I'd like to talk about that next week. And everybody who has that up can follow me through. Now, there's a whole other level that causes in the net. You have to kind of learn a little bit. But if that's what it takes to help you get into ham radio and begin to understand it, I'm all for it. Let's do it. Does anybody think that would be a good thing for this net? Please call now.
I think that would be very interesting. So I'm
okay.
Very much in favor of it.
Okay. We'll do it, Jan. Anybody else?
We always learn so much from you. So don't quit now.
Okay.
Exactly.
I'm ready to go with you. But you know what? I need questions. I need some promptings. I need to hear what isn't making sense to each of you. And the more I hear, and Helena,
yep.
I've gotten up to about page 50 in Zapped.
Isn't it great?
And it's kind of scary. And for all of those who haven't read it, it talks about low-level microwave radiation, which is about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 gigahertz, low levels for long amounts of time. And it's kind of interesting. The house that they live in right now, I'm renting a room, has a microwave that's above the stove. Well, that puts the door about eye level, maybe just a little above eye level for some people. And my landlord is a little shorter, and she's going in for cataracts this week.
That speaks
and,
volumes.
I think that could have had something to do with it. So I encourage everybody to think a lot about this. And I don't know about everybody else, but I, as much as I possibly can, there are situations when you can't avoid it, but I put my phone on speakerphone and I get it away from my head as much as possible. When I'm using my HT, which is my handheld transceiver,
I use a speaker mic. The mic goes down by my face, but the antenna goes up above my head as high as I can hold it. And I think that's just a good preventative measure to prevent the things that happen if the things in Zap are correct. And I'm still reading, and I still need to learn more. So with that, unless somebody else has anything to say, I think it's about time we need to quit.
This is KC3HVA, just to comment on your microwave. You could do like the Russians did, when was it, 1947 or sometime along in there, just ban them. They destroy the food as they reheat it, and they are radiation hazard, so they just banned them, period. They don't have them.
And you know what they did to us? They told us, here's the levels that you can have it. Yeah, they're safe at these levels. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we listened to, oddly enough. So I agree. Yep. I think that you're right on, Jan. So I want to wish everybody a happy evening. I appreciate all the input, Bruce and Crystal and Jan and Helena and anybody else that I missed. I appreciate your input. I appreciate your questions. I appreciate your suggestions. And let's everybody take a look at developing networks. And let's see. Now I can't remember. Wireless networking in a developing world. And let's just take a look at the first chapter or two of that on the next NLA Hamsnet call. This net is held at 8 p.m. Eastern time every Wednesday night for about 45 minutes, roughly. We're running a little over. We apologize to anybody that we're stepping on their time on. We'll get out of here as soon as we can. I am KI0RE, Terry in Colorado, and you can write Jan, and he'll give you the location of the recordings of these nets, and you can listen to them anytime or catch up on one you might have missed. I'd like to thank everybody for their participation, and I think the net will now be closed. This is KI0RE, Terry in Colorado. We'll see you next week.